Reading from over in Ecclesiastes, if you've got your Bibles, you read with me. This is chapter 5, it is, of Ecclesiastes. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. In the 6th chapter, he says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than he the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may be contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in his life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity. Well, if you'll notice, Solomon, in observing so many, many things, gives a real account of wisdom and of foolishness. And the way that he judged things was that it was better to mourn than to laugh. And he judged things that laughter is in the house of fools, but that mourning is in the house of the wise. You know, speaking of those things as of today, that is truly in reverse as to the way that people of today judge things. If I went to somebody that was to evaluate me, like a psychiatrist or whatever, he would tell me that I needed plenty of mirth, I need to laugh, and I need to be joyful and not be so serious about things, you know, and all these kind of things he would tell me as to what he sums life up to be. But when you get down to the reality of it, it's just exactly the reverse of what the psychiatrist says. So then we know that something is wrong in the world today. People are laughing and they're eating and they're drinking and they're going strong toward their doom or to the destination that proves to be a great disaster. Everything is headed for disaster because they're laughing and they're joking and they're eating and they're drinking. They're spending, they're buying, they're selling. And everything is in a great condition of laughter. But you know, it's like I was telling them down here at the Parliamentary House, I believe it was this morning. Either this morning or yesterday, I can't keep up with the days. But I was telling them that my heart is heavy. In the daytime, though I try to be pleasant with people, all day long my heart is heavy. During the nighttime when I'm praying and trying to seek God, my heart is heavy. And it seems like there is a continuation of heaviness of heart. I never get out from under it day nor night. Because my thoughts are the judgment, the judgment, the judgment, the judgment. People are in hell. The judgment's coming. People are in hell. Look at the different ones that we speak of here, you know. I don't like to call these names too much. People don't understand. But anyway, read the papers. Look at the TVs, the radios and whatever. And you see the judgments of God falling. All around us, judgment is falling. Judgment is falling on the youth. Judgment is falling on the aged. Judgment is falling on everybody. Everywhere it's falling. We're in the age of judgment. And we see these things continually. I heard today of a plane that had crashed down in Brazil somewhere, I think it was. And numbers of people that they thought had died in the crash, they've learned that they're still there in the jungle. That maybe instead of 50 people or more dying, that maybe 8 out of the group died. And they're still wandering around in the jungle. They can't get to them because of the bad weather. See, judgment, sorrow, heartaches, the beginning of sorrows, woes. People are taking their own lives and dropping into the flames of hell. So then, it is a true fact that judgment is falling everywhere. And we are the people that are seeing these things. And this is one thing that disturbed God greatly. When God confronted them, as in the body of Jesus, when God himself said to the people, said, you see the judgment and you see these things of judgment that's falling upon the people. Said, you see these kind of things, and seeing these things, you don't repent and you don't change your life. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Seeing that these things come upon others and you know this and still you won't do the thing that is right. So then we see the hand of judgment. Everywhere the handwriting is on the wall. The hand of judgment is there. And we are the people that sing it. Yet the question arises in our heart, what are we doing about it? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And the Bible said in the day of the valley of decision that the Lord was nigh or near. Multitudes in the valley of decision. People are going around all day long. They're in a rut in their minds. I mentioned to some people today these thoughts that I'm about to express to you. And that is that people have no mind to work. They want an income. They want to spend. They want to buy. They don't want to conform to anything. They don't want to come under any kind of leadership. They don't want any form of government as to that which will control their lives. They don't want to take time to think on work or any kind of thing that is going to demand that they give their thoughts to it. They don't want to give their mind to nothing. You know, that's the condition that people are in today. The Bible said concerning the walls of Jerusalem as to the Old Testament, building them back unto the Messiah, that the reason that they did this, they had a mind to work. See, but people today have no mind to work. They have a mind just for frolic, to laugh, to talk, to joke. Even on the jobs, they got their shirts ripped off, running around in shorts, working on the job. And they got a can of beer in their hand over here, and they're cursing over here. And they're laughing and joking and going on. It's just one big frolic all over the world. People aren't sober anymore. Whereas the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. For thine adversary the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, these people that are doing those things are already in the hands of the devil. That's why Solomon said, that it is wiser to be in the house of the morning. It is wiser to be somewhere praying and mourning before God than it is to be in the house of mirth and in the house of laughter and the house of fools. But see, America today, Germany today, around the world, wherever we go, I found it to be the same. The whole world is drunk. If they're not drunk off of the cares of life, which most of them are, they're drunk off of whiskey or beer or wine. There's some kind of frolics in the world. They're drunk off of these things. See, the whole body is out of control. And the people in general all over the world are drunken. They care for nothing but a drunken party. They want to get drunk, and when they get drunk, they don't care whose wife it is, whether it's your wife or his wife or their wife or whatever. They don't care whose husband it is, as long as they can cling around the neck and fill themselves with the mirth of passions and gullible desire, intermingling one to another with another like a bunch of animals. Or like dogs, as the Bible said, the true proverb, the sow, though very religious as the people would be, once it's clean, goes back to the wallowing in the mire. And the dog goes back to his vomit. Because it's the world today. It's people today. It's Satan living within the human body. Satan is living within the human body today. He's inside of the body. He savors the things that be of the flesh. He savors the things that be of the world. He hath no desire for heaven to the extent that he's blinded to heavenly things. And the Bible said because he is the prince of this world, then he's after the things of this world. And he's after the flesh. He's the prince of this world. He would love to cause you to live like a swine, just wallowing in the mire. He'd love for you to live a rotten, evil, degraded life, but he'd like to keep you alive forever. He'd love to have a government established where he would be in the control of it, and he'd love to have you in such a condition that illegitimacy would be everywhere as to birth of children, and you just a drunken fool. And him in control of your life and in control of the government. And he'd like to make you live forever in that kind of condition. But he hasn't been able to accomplish his purpose. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And when you do those things, you're headed for death. You're headed for disaster. And when you do those things, your life is terminal. And somewhere down the road, somewhere death is going to strike. Whether at a young age or a later age, death is going to strike because you are playing the fool. The Bible said, want a fool, and he'll just laugh and make a joke out of it and go right on down the road until the dart strikes through the liver. Said, want a wise man, and he'll be wiser. He'll listen to what you've got to say, and he'll incorporate that in his life and change his lifestyle completely to where it will make sense. The Bible teaches that a fool is known by the multitude of his words. People love to just talk. Just multitudes of words. Gossip, backbite, ride, buy, sell, get things you know, and just laugh and talk. The Bible says that this kind of people, that they are fools. And that they'll go right on when the warning is given, till the dart strikes through the liver. Or that is to say, just like a minister warning a congregation. Or just like a man that has wisdom, or a woman that has wisdom, that will warn the family or someone. And they'll laugh it off, and they'll make a joke out of it. And they'll go right on till the dart strikes through the liver. I remember the man that's in bad trouble right now. He received a warning. And the warning was, he was dressing wrong. You know what he did? He made a joke out of it. But look at him today. He wasn't dressed proper. He was running around in shorts on TV. He received the warning, but it was a joke to him. But it hasn't been a joke as of late. Since they put him in a cell, to where the restroom is open and he has no door to close. He has no curtain to pull. He's in there like an animal. He's a spectacle to the news medias and all of the dignitaries that come in there. They see him in his filth and indecency. Whether it is for necessitated purposes as to bathing or whatever it might be. See, because he made a joke out of God. and he lightly esteemed the warning. Whereas he was a great figure and a great dignitary and lived like a king, everything that heart could wish for. But a little deceit, a little laughing, a little joke, a little talking on the side, some man to his wife or some woman to her husband, of figuring the thing out and going to pull their little gimmicks and do their little thing and go their way. You know, whether it be against the brotherhood or against the minister or against humanity, whatever it might be, God writes everything down. And the Bible says that his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, rewarding every man according to his deeds. And Paul said, and the time will come, the day will come, when God will judge the secrets of man's heart by this gospel that I'm preaching. There's coming a day when every thought that you've ever thought, in the secrecy of your own heart, everything that you've ever discussed under closed doors is going to be shouted from the housetop. The Bible said, whatever is said, shout it from the housetop, because it's going to be made known. Everything is going to come abroad. And God is going to judge the secrets of your heart by this gospel that I'm preaching. So then it shows us that judgment is here. Judgment begins at the house of God. We're at the house of God right now. And judgment begins at the house of God. And if it begins at the house of God, where will it stop? Where will it stop? If it begins with the saints of God, as to God judging the saints of God, and the Bible said saving them by judgment. If this begins at the house of God, once God has judged the saints, once God has cleansed the hearts of the saints, and once God has blessed the saints and sealed the saints in, where will this judgment end? Or where will it go as it strikes those that are out in the world? You know, I made the statement recently. The devil tried to Jim Jones everything. You remember that? Tried to make all of the Christian churches, all of the Christian activities, make them look like Jim Jones. And the evil things that he had done. I said, just don't worry about it. Just pray. Remember, they more or less hit us to begin with. Do you remember that? We was about the first lick or among the first charges. So then I said, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. And God will cleanse the church. And God will manifest the church. And God will make the church beautiful. I said, and he'll bring the church through. I said, after they put their finger on the church, all God will do is purge out the old leaven, make us a new lump, and take away that is really the Jim Joneses, and the others will come out with flying colors, as we say. As Job said, though God destroy me, yet in my flesh shall I see God, for I shall stand in the last day. Not another for me, but I shall stand for myself in the last day, and I shall see him for myself in the last day. So then, the church has gone through a purging, a great ordeal. But notice, as it started lifting from the church, it went to the ball games. And you notice how that they went through the ball games, still striking at them. And then if you notice, it went to the government and begin to hit the White House. And you notice in Congress how many people that have been put down, great men that have been put down and been put in prison, because it's moving. See, judgment is moving. All over the world it's moving. God first starts at the house of God. And you've got to remember one thing, as it has been in the natural as to these people that have done those things, so is it happening in the spiritual. I'm here preaching the gospel. Many other men are preaching the gospel. We're just helpers of your faith. We're not a lord over God's heritage, even though we do possess the power to bless or to curse. The Bible said, seeing that he is the minister of God, will you not be afraid? For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is God's minister set there to execute judgment upon them that do wickedly. So then, we're here to preach to you, not to curse you, but to bless you if you'll let us bless you. And we're here as helpers of your faith to help you find life and that in great abundance if you'll do the things that we ask you to do. And if you'll conform to these things, the Bible said, believe my prophets and prosper. If you'll confess your sins, forsake your sins, the Bible said that whatsoever you do shall prosper. And you'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. But if you cover your sins, the Bible says you shall not prosper. You must confess your sins and you must forsake your sins, or God will bring you down. If you exalt yourself, you make money, if you look for fame and prestige, if you look for position, if you try to be some great celebrity out in the world, God will put you down. But if you let God exalt you and let God raise you up, then you'll never fall. They that do these things, the Bible said, shall never fall. And the Bible said, seek out these things and search out these things. For they that do these things shall never fall. So then we understand by the scriptures that the eyes of God are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. And the Bible says that he is looking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in the behalf of the upright in heart. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how religious you are. It doesn't matter what kind of education you've got, what kind of background you've got, how much money you've got, what you appear to be in your bodily appearance as your human person. It doesn't make any difference. God could care less about that. The thing that God is concerned about is the upright in heart. God purifies the heart by faith, and God is looking for the upright in heart. His eyes are throughout the earth going to and fro, searching out mankind, looking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in the behalf of the upright in heart. This is why I like to pray, and this is why I like to study the Word, and this is why I like to have a conversation concerning the Lord Jesus or the things of God. You know, I say this so often, and I say it again to you tonight. It greatly wearies me when people come that want to talk with me and visit with me, though they be relatives, and though they're very dear to me, and though they be neighbors, and though they be people that I've known for years in the past. They're wonderful. But to come to visit with me and talk with me and to fellowship with my wife, it's very wearisome to me. The whole time that they're with me, I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm worn. I don't want to hear it. I just talk and answer because of the human way of life, so as not to be offensive. But I'm very grieved, all during the day, I'm very heavy-hearted. See, because I don't want to hear that. I don't care about that. I can talk all day with a relative. I can talk all day with a friend. I can talk all day with a preacher. And if we don't talk about God, if we don't talk about doing something for God, or if we don't get out of the business and do something for God, at the end of the day, I feel like I've been scraped with a potsherd. I feel, oh God, I've done nothing. I've done nothing for you. The day is completely wasted. We just talked it away. We just visited the day away. And you said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And the judgment is another day closer. And many souls have gone to hell this day. And we've done nothing. And another thing that wearies me is for somebody to come to me that's always wanting to talk about doing something for God that never does it. If I know that person's background, and I know their way of life or mannerism of life, see, if I know that, it wearies me, because all they do is talk. Talk, like the old saying is, well, like the Bible says, let's use the scripture. The Bible said, and the talk of the lip only tends to penury. Somebody says talk is cheap. But the talk of the lip only tends to penury. But there is reward in all labor. And people don't want to labor, and they don't want a mind to give, or a mind to pray, or a mind to sacrifice. They just want to talk. Talk. And most of the time, it's about their own problems. And most of the time, their own problems is because they've talked about their own problems all their life. Most of the time, their problems is because they haven't done anything for God anyway. That's where your problems come from. The Bible said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. If you do something for God and you lay things in line for God, you're not going to have those problems. Someone would say, well, now, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that people that live for God don't have problems? I don't mean to tell you that. People that live for God, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible also says that God delivereth him out of them all. I'm here to tell you that when you have a problem, God minimizes it. You might magnify it. The devil with your carnal mind will magnify it till it becomes a mountain and it'll crush you. Or cause you to take your own life. Or you'll get in such a condition you can't even hold up under the situation. Your nerves will go berserk on you. Your brain will snap on you. You'll wind up in the somewhere in an insane asylum or some kind of institution because you let the devil talk to you and didn't take God's word for it. See, but when you take God's word, faith comes up. And the Bible said, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And it says, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. See, you don't want to throw your faith away. It hath great recompense of reward. Keep that faith. It is a shield. The devil wants to penetrate that shield. He wants to do something to your mind. He wants to trample your mind down by bringing all kind of thoughts of accusations, either against you or against somebody else by using your brain work. See, he wants to accuse. And you know what I found? I found in my own life, and I found it to be so in the other people's lives that I've dealt with down through the years, that they that are always finding fault with somebody else or accusing somebody else are minimizing somebody in their mind. That is, I have found that those very people are usually worthless. There are people that don't do nothing, that don't live no kind of life that's fit for anything. They're just bound up in their minds and conglomerated in their minds, and their mind is full of garbage. And all they do is blame somebody for their problems, and in every case, I find out that they're to blame for their own problem. When I go back and look at it, they're to blame for their own problem. If that be so, why don't we stop accusing one another? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Why don't we stop that? And why don't we look in the mirror and say, there's the man that's causing the trouble. There's the culprit right there. That's the man that's causing all the trouble. That's the woman that's causing the trouble. She's stubborn. She's hard-headed. She's rebellious. She won't listen. She won't dress right. She wants to project herself as some harlot in painting her face up, you know, to make it look like some clown. Or to fix her body to where she looks terrible when she walks down the street to cause men, as to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, to lust after her. The Bible speaks of the last generation of being an adulterous, sinful generation, where they just lust after one another. And the Bible said to look on a woman, or a woman look on a man, to lust after that individual, or the flesh hath committed adultery already in their heart. An adulterous generation. But that woman, she wants to dress that way. She wants that attention. She wants that man to notice her. She wants that kind of attention. And it isn't but for one thing, and that's for a base reasons. Because she wants to be cuddled, and she wants to be taken into his control as to the powers and conglomeration of lust and gullible desire as to the flesh and to the things that tend to adultery and fornication. That's what she's wanting. And the man, he's the same way. You look into the mirror, he wants to slick up his hair. He wants to polish his teeth, which is good to brush your teeth and comb your hair, and I'm certainly not against that. But the thing is, he wants to do it. His eyes are filled with lust. And these are religious people. Many of these people belong to churches. They are religious people. They're preachers a lot of times. They're deacons a lot of times. They're great men. They're statesmen. But they still do these things. Like it was said of Kennedy, that he had a little book, and it was terrible as to the things they said that they found in his diary. And it is said that a certain girl that committed suicide, that was a star, a movie star, that was one of the reasons. You know her, a very famous star. But nevertheless, the thing is that the world is looking to one another. The devil is in man and woman, and he is using them to intermingle and to become interwoven, having affairs one with another to where he can corrupt all flesh. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, look at me. Now, I'm the prime example.
The Bible said fornicators and liars and cheats, speaking of you religious people, said such were some of you before God cleansed you and washed you. And another thing is, the Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way before God. There's none good, no, not one. All of them have gone their own way, priests and preachers and all alike. They've gone their own way. They've gone their own way and they've done their own thing. And every man has turned to his own way and let the house of God lay waste. When you say the house of God, I understand that buildings belong to God. But Jesus was speaking of this house right here. When he went in and turned over the tables, run the people out that sold doves. He said, it is written of all nations that my Father's house should be called the house of prayer. Said, but you've made it a den of thieves and a place for money changers. And you know what? The human body that's considered to be the temple of God, the house of God, the writer said, you have taken that house of God, and your mind is filled so with making money and buying and doing and selling and these things till your house is nothing but a place of money changers. And did you know that you've done the things that are so evil and so wicked till your house is filled with devils and demons that Jesus called robbers and thieves? You've made it a den of thieves, he said. And like as to the one woman that Jesus cast the devil out of, seven devils or thieves was abiding in that house. See, looking at your face, wanting to build your bodies, wanting to project the flesh, knowing that the devil is the ruler of this world, that he savors or loves the things of the flesh, and the Bible tells you to come out from among the world, to be a separate people, to touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Knowing this, instead of converting your life and your substance and your talents and your skills and your abilities, instead of converting them to Christ and magnifying Christ in your body and Christ in your life, and doing the things that please God, instead of doing that, you go hard after the intellectual side of life to sport yourself and to show yourself. And as a result of that, what can I say as the preacher? The Bible said, in all flesh has corrupted its way before God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. And that's where you're at today, folks. All flesh, the preacher, the priest, the statesman, all of them. I thought of a few things that's happened to some of the great television artists as of late. I'm not speaking of people that are supposed to be numbered with the world, but I'm speaking of the religious, of these great religious leaders, how that they found them in corruption, and how that they found them in harlotry and doing the things of the world and going after the things of the world, as to defrauding and all these other kind of things. I've thought about it. Those are supposed to be ministers, supposed to be the leaders, supposed to be the cream of the crop. They're supposed to be the ones that upholds the right things of God and becomes an example. But as I've said and I say before, did you know that there's no prosecution? There is no law. There is no prosecution toward those men because of the evil, adulterous thing that they did. That the law hasn't risen up one time, nor have they charged them one time, nor have they given them any penalty or sentence. But where they touch the money, and where they can prove that they took some money, then they bring the hammer down. Right then and there, they come down on them just as hard as they can come. Whereas they've got no business defrauding. They've got no business cheating. They've got no business doing those things. But I'm just saying that the world doesn't care how corrupt they are. Satan doesn't care how corrupt you are. He doesn't care. Why should he care how corrupt you are? See, those people out there, they don't care how corrupt you are. You can be a preacher, whatever. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, can you show us an example? I sure can. The papers is carrying the articles right now where one man is treated like an animal because he was caught bothering the money. Another man that was caught in the same thing so far as adultery, the papers carried it. It was, papers were filled with it. Even the church that he belonged to rejected him. But did you know that the world went right on with him? And I read the articles where people were out playing golf. And when they found out this man was being harassed by the papers or whatever, because of the things that he had done, that they were talking one with another and said, "My, this great man, look how many people this is going to put out of work. And look how much money it's going to take," because the man was bringing in millions. See, they didn't care. And today the man's going right on. He's back doing his thing, whether it's radio, television, whatever it might be. He's going full strength because the world doesn't care. See, the world doesn't care. The world loves its own. But when it comes to the money, you mess with their money and you're in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? But God lets these things happen to these ministers and different people that do these things. God lets the other thing happen to show up the fornication and the adultery and the lying and the swindling and all these other things that they do. God brings it to a head. He lets these things show up. And he brings in the money side of it so that they'll punish him, knowing that they don't care at all about adultery. And the reason that they don't care about the fornication and adultery, because all flesh has corrupted its way. And the judge that's sitting behind the judgment seat has been taking up time with people the same way as to having affairs. He knows he's in the same condition and he's judging the man that stands here. He knows that, and the prosecutor knows he's guilty too, and yet he's prosecuting a man. That's why they don't bring this out. See, and they go around the other way. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. But let me tell you something, friend. God is going to bring it all to a head. Whether it's the judge, whether it's the priest, whether it's the preacher, whatever it is, when you commit fornication and you go out and you lie and cheat and swindle and do these things that God told you not to do, he's going to bring it to the front. He's going to shout it from the housetop. Everybody's going to know about it. He may have to bring out something in your life that those people would be stirred up at you about. But he's going to bring it to the front. And then he's going to bring out all the harlotry and the evil. Because the Bible said, "In the morning I will hate your image." When you do those things, it means you're not born again. It means you don't have his spirit. It means that you're of the first man, Adam, that you're carnally minded and that that's enmity with God. And that to be carnally minded is death, that in Adam all die. And God despises your image because it is the bastard child image. It was fornication and evil from the beginning. But when you love the Lord, though you stumble, God will pick you back up. Many times you may stumble, but God will establish and God will make all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. If you won't be deceitful, if you'll confess your sins, if you'll forsake your sin, God will prosper you. God will bless you. So then it's very obvious that we're living in the day of judgment. We're living in the hour of judgment. And we need to get into the house of mourning and prayer. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for our loved ones. We need to be concerned about our government and the officials that's in control of not only the United States, but around the world. The Bible said to pray for the kings and pray for the rulers of the earth, that God will prepare their heart and that they'll do the right thing. Do you pray for them? You should pray for them. And we should pray for one another. Samuel said, "God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people." So then we need to pray for the people. We need to be clean. We need to be holy. For God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro on the earth, looking for the upright in heart that he may show himself strong in their behalf. So then the whole world has gone to corruption. And if someone cries out against this, then Satan immediately begins to find fault and begins to get his little group together to boycott, to stop the voice of them that cry out against corruption, because Satan knows that his kingdom gets shaky. But there are people that's coming to the front. The Bible said Satan will wear the saints of God out, but then something will happen, which I know for sure is the coming of this revelation. And something will happen, and they'll realize who they are, and the strength that they have, and that Almighty God is with them, and they'll rise and take the kingdom, even the kingdoms of this world, and possess it forever and forever. So then we see that the only way is the right way. Look at the papers and you'll see some of these men that God is making an example out of. I've been praying for some of them, asking God to show mercy because of the horrible thing that's upon a human being. But the Lord has always let me know that He would make it severe, very severe for people as in the beginning, to show the world how He hated this thing. And how that people can go on in their plush way of life. Woe unto them that are these in Zion. And how that after a while He'll bring it out. But down the road He'll show some mercy. He'll show some mercy. But I don't want to go down that trail. I don't want to do the things that's wrong. I don't want to do the things that's wrong. I'm not seeking to swindle and to do things wrong. I'm not seeking to defile myself and to lose the virtues of my life. Not only as an activity of life, but I want, as I've said so many times, I want the very intents of my heart to be clean. I want my heart to be clean because out of the heart comes forth issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. It doesn't matter how much he comes to church, whether he's the preacher or the preacher's wife or the preacher's children, or he's the priest or the deacon, or he's supposed to be a Christian. That doesn't matter. If he has thoughts in his heart of corruption, he is a devil. He is corrupt. He is evil. And God will eventually destroy him. But if you stumble, you may not be rich. You may not be a preacher. You may not have the things of life that others have. But if your heart's clean, then you are the apple of God's eye. And He will eventually give you the desires of your heart and He'll make you rich. And it won't be as the newspapers that you're reading now where these men in the end are fools. For the Bible said if you get riches deceitfully, then you'll be cut off in the midst of your days and in the end you'll be a fool. But if you serve God, He giveth thee the power to get wealth. And His blessings make rich and add no sorrow. And it won't be as it is in the newspaper of these men going into these horrible, hideous conditions because of lewdness and because of boasting themselves against God. So then Paul said, God forbid that I should boast myself in any way except in the Lord. Let's stand together. There's much to be said, and of course I'd like to say a whole lot more and could say a whole lot more tonight, but you've been patient. It's still a little uncomfortable. Maybe it isn't to you. I hope it isn't. But it's still a little uncomfortable, and I'm going to let you go in just a little bit. Let's worship the Lord for a few minutes, and then after this, we'll let you go. Judgment begins at the house of God. Judgment is in the land, and as we have said before, the stars of heaven are falling. I know that the natural stars aren't falling yet. I realize that. But when you see these things in the earth as to the spiritual things happen, the Bible said as in heaven, so in the earth. Whatever takes place in one place as to the heavens, which is the spirit, also eventually takes place in the natural. All whatever is taking place in the natural, it indicates that things are taking place in the spirit. See, God is a spirit. They that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship Him. And those things that are taking place in the spirit has to be made manifest in the natural. And so when you see these men that are intermingled, the women intermingle and interwoven among the church, then that those are considered stars. They are in one dimension. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth, they are in a certain dimension. And when you see these things start to take place, then that means that that in the spirit is beginning to take place. So we're on the verge of Lucifer being cast out. These great men that are falling from their lofty places, see, they are filled with the devil. And they've done these evil things, though they're very religious, though they're believers, yet they don't have the Spirit of God. Had they had the Spirit of God, they would not have done those things. And so then now they're falling, wanting to project themselves, wanting big ministries, wanting to be on TV, wanting to have money, wanting to be a person of glamour, of prestige, wanting to be a dignitary, wanting to be a movie star, as we say. See, wanting to be some great celebrity, they're falling. They're falling. Though thou climbest up to heaven and makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. So then, see, they climbed up. The Bible said, and the serpent, the old devil, the generation of vipers, even with religious attire, hath climbed up into the upper lintel. He has climbed up into the upper lintel. He's among those in the upper echelon. He's up here in the lofty places, the religious places, the great places of government or whatever. But God is casting them down. See, and they're beginning to fall all around you. They're beginning to fall. So hold tight that no man take your crown. Better get your prayer life. Better start studying the Word of God and feeding your soul with the Word of God. Forget about the lust of the eyes. Don't sit around and just wander all day long. I spoke to you here about the wandering of the spirit and the wandering of the desire. Some of you wander all day long. You can't make your minds come to a place to have a mind to work or give your time to do anything. You can't do it. You just can't do it. You just want to eat, drink, and frolic. The old saying is, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You don't have any vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You need to anchor. The Bible speaks of having an anchor for the soul, and that is the present day truth. You need to anchor and quit just drifting about, being blown about by every wind of doctrine, and being unstable. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Find a place to labor. If not here with Brother Pike, find a place with someone and labor for God and give your all to it. Don't just be partial. Give your all to it, or else you'll be double-minded. Go after it with all of your life. Don't just be religious. Incorporate this in your life. Religion is supposed to be a life with you. It isn't supposed to be something that you come as to coming to church or that you come to and then go out and have your career and life in the world. You can't mix darkness with light. This is a life. This is a career with God. And you can't have both of those things. I know the world tells you you can, but I'm telling you, you can't. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then that means that you're going to have to either get on one side or another. And if you take the side of the world, of the present world, having loved this present world, Paul spoke of a man that went back into it. If you love this present world, then the love of God is not in you. For if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. But if you have Christ as Spirit, you have the love of God things and spiritual things and heavenly things, and your conversation will be in heaven, and the Bible teaches your thoughts or mind will be in heaven. All of your desires will be toward God. All of your endeavors will be toward God. And whether you are doing anything in the world as Daniel was down in Babylon, or as some others were, as the Hebrew children that held special offices, or as it was in the days of Ruth and Esther as gaining certain places. See, in these things, whether you be in the upper echelon, whether you be in some kind of business, whether you be related to that that is of the world as to the governmental faculties, or whatever it might be as to the societies of life, you'll be holy, you'll be godly, you'll be pure, you won't compromise, and God will deliver you and keep raising you up and raising you up. And like David, he said, David, I've taken you from among the sheepcotes, give you a name like unto the great men of the earth. I've made you a king, David. I've made you a king. And if you do the things that God tells you, God's blessing will make you rich. God will raise you up. God will make you a leader. God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. But if you compromise, it's going to be like the men you're reading about in the newspaper, whether they're in the government, in Congress, or religion, or whatever. Someday, God said, I will meet you face to face. You think that I'm altogether such a one as you are in your religious attire or your societies of life. He said, but someday I'll meet you face to face. He said, and I'll be like a bear that's been robbed of her cubs, and I'll tear you into pieces. You that forget God, all nations that forget me. He said, I'll turn you into hell. And he said, and I'll meet you face to face someday. And I shall in no wise, in that hour, I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth, God said. For their prayers are an abomination in my sight, though they be religious. And their offerings are abomination in my sight, though they be charitable in the things that they do. Folks, let's do something for God. Let's do something for God. I just heard recently that Jerry, one of the movie stars, took up more than $40 million for muscular dystrophy. As to children, Jerry Lewis, which I admire. I think that's wonderful that the man would do it. Wonderful that people responded. I think that's wonderful. And he should be praised in a good thing. Paul said, in a good thing, I praise you. But I still marvel, as do all of the things of the world that can be done. And they'll be praised in it. But when it comes to trying to save a soul and pull a soul out of hell, or to take a soul out of the fire, the Bible said, hating the garments that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire, they'll all rise up and the devil will make them boycott, because he knows that that's going to the spirit and not to the flesh. And he saveth the things that be of the flesh. And he wants to kill out anything that's godly, and they'll boycott against it, and they'll print it in the newspaper, they'll harass the people, they'll make a big to-do over it, they'll put them down and degrade them when they're the cleanest, most holy, godly thing that there is in the world. And the day that they go out of this world, according to the Bible, God will rain fire and brimstone down. The Bible said the very day that Lot was taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God rained fire and brimstone down on him. So he was symbolic of the church. And the very moment that we go out of here in the translation, the people, as the world says, has had it. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing, I love him. I love him. The altars are open if you'd like to come. I love him. Because that he first loved me. And he salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me now. This now. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Let's sing this little chorus. Come into my heart. Can we sing it? Come into my heart. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Anytime that we're preaching or singing, the altars are open for a new dedication to God. To be re-strengthened by the Spirit and to have a new dedication to God. Won't be long, as David Paul said, and we'll be going over into the areas of Nigeria. And we're expecting a lot of people. How many, I don't know. But we're expecting a lot of people to come out to hear this wonderful word of God, the words of life. While we have a chance to enjoy the words of life, let's listen to them and let's incorporate them in our lives. And looking around us and seeing the horrible things that are happening and the judgments that's happening to different people, let it not be said that this happens to us. Let it not be said. Let's pray. If there's anything in our life that's displeasing to God, whether natural or spiritual, let's do something about it. Let's change our whole makeup and life. Are you willing to change your life? To make a change? Are you willing? Got some folks back here, I believe, that's visiting with us that we're certainly glad to have tonight. Appreciate people coming to visit with us. If you've never made a commitment to God, make a commitment to God. Sin will have to be paid for. Wherever there's sin, sin has to be paid for. And if you're sinning, then let's get out of the sinning business, as somebody said. Let's change our lives. And if you're not doing anything for God, then let's get a vision. There's a lot to be done. Let's get a vision. Somebody was telling me today that's been with us for quite a number of years. And they said to me today, said, you know, I know now and realize more and more, they explained, that I could have done so much during the time that I've been with you folks. Said, I realized I could have done so much and said, I failed to do it. I failed to do it through the years. And now the individual's sorry. Because why not? 10 years from now, you're going to be 10 years older. And if you didn't give that 10 years to God, what have you got out of it? Somebody says, I got a home, I got land, I got money. What good is that? You're 10 years old. Wait another 10 years and don't do nothing for God. And see what you get out of that 10 years. You might have 2 houses. You might have 500 acres. 5,000 acres. You might have $1 million, $10 million. But give it another 10 years and you'll be 10 years older. And then if you happen to survive during that time, it won't be long. You can get your insurance ready. It won't be long. Because you're going to leave it to a fool, or you're going to leave it to somebody. Because most assuredly, you've been a fool. You didn't use it for God. And now, God passed it through your hands as a steward, but you didn't use it for God. You thought it belonged to you. And all of a sudden, the Lord folds you up and lays you away. And then you realize it never did belong to you. It belonged to God. And He takes it and He gives another person a chance. See, life is passing through the stalk to bring forth the harvest. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Bible said when the evil days draw not nigh, when you look and say, I don't have any pleasure in my past life because you didn't make the right investment. So then, now's the time to do something for God. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the Bible said tomorrow take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. And the Bible said you know not what a day shall bring forth. So then the time to get right with God is right now. The time to do something for God is right now. Get you a vision. I noticed a number of the ladies are beginning to get interested in the computer. They want to learn the computer, which is a wonderful thing. I'm glad to see that. My Susie's kind of heading the thing up. She's being a lot of help to them in the computer area. And I hope that the ladies will learn, because we need numbers of them on the computer to help us in the work that we're doing. And I've got a few of them in the men that are beginning to help me and get interested in finding out what needs to be done. And instead of trying to ask somebody, they're just trying to find out and go on and do it, and not making a wilderness out of it. While the others want to lounge, and the others want to fall by the wayside, and the others want to eat, drink, and be merry, you know, and they want to make money, and they just want to do their own thing. But there's a few. Look at your life. See what you've done with your life. See what you've done with the life that God has already given you. And see what you're doing with the life that God has given you at this present moment. See what you're doing with it. I'm telling you something, folks. Life will slip by swifter than a shuttle. Life is swifter than a shuttle, and it will slip by. And you'll find out that you've been full. I've got some of you that's been with me 5 years, 10 years, and you've hardly done anything more than grumble and mumble and stumble around in the wilderness to be out there a while and in here a while. A lot of folks say, well, Brother Pike, I haven't been out there. I've been in all the time. You know that you're lying against the truth. Some of the others have just been out there, and you know that they've been out there because it's shown up. But some of you withdrew to make money and do your own things for years, to establish your own way of life, and you were just as much out there as they were in the things of the world. And you know that. Check up and see what you've done, or check up and see what you're doing, because the hour is at hand. The judgments of God are falling, and it's no respect of person. It's going to come to every person's home, every person's house. You're going to see the hand of God in the hand. It's writing on the wall. Some of you are not seeing it as of yet, because you've not sown enough seed yet. Your harvest hasn't come forth as of yet. It's growing, but it hasn't come forth yet. But many of you have already sown your harvest, and it's already beginning to come forth. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Like the man in the newspaper cried, "Don't do this to me," he cried. But he's already sown down through the years. He's reaping. Every person is going to reap. They used to have a song they sang, "Sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one, so that you can rejoice on that day when you'll hear the Savior say, 'Come ye blessed, a crown ye have won,' because you sowed the righteous seeds." Sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one, so that you can rejoice on that day when you hear Jesus say, "Come ye blessed, a crown ye have won." You love the Lord? Every person has a sovereignty and a right to do whatever you want to do. And you that have been here listening to me minister down through the years, you've done what you wanted to do. You've done what you wanted to do. Can you sing that little chorus? Will you invite Him in? He's looking for the upright in heart. Will you invite Him in? Into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again, can you, Dale?
Into my heart,
into my heart.
Come in today.
sing just another chorus or two. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If I do that is good and that is righteous, if I please God, then my heart will be right. And I can rejoice on that day when I hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. Let's sing this little chorus, how beautiful heaven must be. I want to be partakers of heaven, don't you? Partakers of the blessings of God. How beautiful heaven must be. It's the home of the happy and the free. I read of a place it's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Can you sing with me? How beautiful heaven must be. It's the home of the happy and free. I read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Can you sing it again? How beautiful heaven must be. It's the home of the happy and free. I read of that place they call heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Sing another chorus. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Sing it with me. For this is the day. Can you sing one more time? For this is the day. This is the day that my Lord hath made.
That my Lord hath made.
I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad. I'll be glad. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing Grace. Sing it with me now.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but
can you sing that with us?
I see.
Amazing grace,
how sweet
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
now
I found. I was blind, but now I can see.
Was grace that taught my heart to feel. It was grace, my peace relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And with that in soul,
I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. In the new Jerusalem, I'll wear the bright
and when the battle is over,
I'm gonna wear in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear the crown in the new. Let's sing this little chorus, Sister Dale. We'll close it if you give me another key. Come by here, my Lord, I'm by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by here? Somebody needs a blessing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs a blessing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs a blessing, Lord. Come by here. Oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by here? Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here, come by here, my Lord, come by here, oh sweet Jesus, won't you come by. Sing it with me now. Somebody needs their healing, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord,
come back here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord, come back here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come back here? Come back here, my Lord, come back here. Come back here, my Lord, come back. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come? You love the Lord, somebody say praise the Lord. If your body suffers pain and your hope you can't regain, and you have to get along on Megafest. Sing it with me now. Just remember in God's word how He fed the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me now. Go. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you trust and don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let's sing this little chorus. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before they're coming to carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm coming through. They're coming to carry me home. Let's give him a wave off. Sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Can we sing just one or two more? Let's sing this one, Sister Deb. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the diamond ring. Just give to me
the love of Jesus. So we don't want your gold and silver, and we don't want your diamond rings. All we need is more of Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus and we'll try to close as we sing. Just a few minutes of worshiping, singing, that helps us build strength and faith for tomorrow.
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. Has control, and if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul.
Say
amen.
Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll deserve God that has control. If the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Just
let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Isn't the Lord good? He's so wonderfully good. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace.
Mighty God is he,
saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer.
I wonder if we can sing this little chorus together. If I can't remember it, Sister Dale and probably Brother Taylor can.
Oh, tell me His name once again. Sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above
to die on the cross of shame.
The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer.
Oh, tell me.
Can you sing one more time? Tell me his name once again. Sing it with me now.
And sing me the sweet refrain of
Jesus.
Love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The
story my heart has stirred,
it's the sweetest that I've ever heard.
Bandages fear brings me hope and cheer.
Oh, tell me his name again.
Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes and let's sing this little chorus we sing so much? And time shall be no more. For the angel
shall stand on the sea, and time shall be.